I almost just hit leave meeting. That would have been a great bit.
okay. You can just edit the front part. Go ahead.
I might leave that in. That's kind of funny, actually. Yeah. Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening. Folks, thank you very, very much for listening. Today, today is the 3rd of May, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show, presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. James, we kind of have a new segment to start these shows these days. We're not really going to do it today, just because we want to be respectful of our wonderful guest time, but that segment is called Housekeeping. I do have some...
Oh, I thought this segment was going to be apologize to James because he did it again.
So that was going to be part of the housekeeping.
Oh, okay.
That I was going to mention today, but I don't really want to get into all that. I think we're going to save it until next week. The only thing that I want to say is this, is James and I are a perfect podcast co-hosts. We are always in sync because we both came into this episode thinking, man, like, we don't want to be repetitive. Like, what are we going to do? So James went out of his way and got Johnny Kane, who we're going to get to in just a second. Johnny, stay right there. We're going to get to you in just a second. James got Johnny. And in my head, I had like a whole surprise gimmick, like game show thing that we were going to do for the entire episode. And then James was like, an hour and a half ago, like, hey, I got Johnny. And I was like, oh my God, okay, well, we have to do this. So I'm going to tell you what next week's episode is going to be. Okay, I'm going to give everybody a little bit of a teaser. This is what I thought today was going to be, but instead it's a million times better. And Johnny, again, sit tight.
Your eyes look nice today.
What was I talking about?
You're not going to say thank you?
What are you talking? Of course, thank you.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying this.
You're going to reveal the. No. Did you hear?
I'm saying that this episode is now better. I'm saying this episode is better.
I don't think you heard what I just said.
What?
I said your eyes are nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, James.
Right, go ahead.
Next week's episode. Over the last 2 years, broke down the 10 most consequential moves of Troy Weaver's tenure.
He's already made 10.
No, I'm just saying like that kind of have like shaped from from where he started to where we are now is all I mean.
But you're saying, but he's already made 10 moves. I didn't even think, you're including free agency signings. Okay. Yeah.
Everything. Since when he got hired to today. Yeah. So that's going to be next week. James Edwards III. He's done it again. James, who do we got today?
We got the man, the myth, the legend, my brother, Johnny Kane, a.k.a. Kane Train, a.k.a. I'm not going to say that one on the pod, but we're out here. Johnny, thank you so much for doing this, brother. In between a Tigers off a Tiger game day.
Yeah, that's all good, man.
That's love.
Honestly, no, I love you guys. I'll be honest with you. You know, I did my podcast, when the pandemic hit. Everybody thinks, yeah, man, it'd be great to do a podcast, but to keep content fresh, to do it every week, it is a commitment. You guys have a great sound. Obviously, I know both of you guys, but it is, it's an enjoyable listen. And like for me to be on the show, it's a cool deal, man. I wouldn't rather be doing anything else other than unpacking my suitcase.
Well, I'm glad we could delay the inevitable. Nick, let's start here. Let's put Johnny on the spot. Johnny, nice. did you do post game when Blake scored 50? Against Philly in the overtime win?
Yeah, not on the floor, but in the locker room.
You didn't do the floor? Okay.
No, we did. Yeah, we did.
I thought you did.
I was just trying to remember. Yeah, we got him. Yeah, we got him on the floor.
Oh, well, then it sounds like you don't remember, so this is going to fuck this up.
Miguel
Cabrera, 3,000 post-game. Mm-hmm. Blake 50.
Oh yeah,
overtime, better moment. Well, that's pretty. I think the answer is obvious now.
Yeah, and it's not just because it happened most recently, but the 50 is a big deal, and obviously the gym was lit, and it was in the moment. I remember I was like, "What am I going to ask him?" And like the first thing that came to my mind is like, "How do you do what you do?" And that how does somebody like that answer? Like, just pooping, you know.
Yeah.
But with Cabrera, was such that when you actually like. You got to, when you marinate on how many hits 3,000 is.
It's a culmination.
It's a culmination. You're talking 2 decades in the making. 2 decades.
You're interviewing one of basically 3 dozen people to ever do that on this earth.
And then like the third Tiger, right?
Right. Kaline, Cobb, Cabrera. Yeah. And he's only now, 3 hits behind Ty and Kaline for most, career hits. So that to me is like when you actually are looking at greatness, I don't like to throw around the term living legend, but and when I first got here, it's like everybody was like Miggy, and he was still, so I got here in 15, so he had just come off maybe like the peak, and then like maybe starting the descent, but now when I look at him, I'm like, yep.
Like,
he is a legit one of the all-time greats. We romanticize all the years of the past. You know what I mean? Like the players of yesteryear. It's just what we do.
Yeah.
It's like all those guys were like, oh man, they'll never be touched. And then you look at Miggy's numbers and you're like, nope, he's one of like the absolute all-time greatest players in the history of the game. That's legit. So to talk to him after the game, it was cool.
I messed up. I assumed everybody knows Johnny Kane, so I didn't even intro. I'm sure they do, but in case you're a new listener, Johnny, Bally Sports Detroit, does sideline for Pistons, Tigers, but spent a good portion. How many games did you do at the end next to Greg Kelser?
16.
16. Absolutely killed it. I would go back. Most games I would always watch afterwards, just like if I was working on a piece, and I would always text Johnny, you did a great job. Obviously, in the moment, I don't get to hear him, but everybody always was praising him on the timeline.
Yeah, can I ask a quick question about that? How often am I allowed to text you and be like, you're really good at your job? Like, because so many times throughout the year, like there are so many times where, like, after it would be like the second quarter, and I just want to be like, dude, you're so good at this. And I always refrained. I always held back.
Nah, hey, I'll be honest with you. It really does mean a lot because it's important for all of us to be self-aware. Yeah. And just because this is something I've wanted to do since I was little, like you always hear people say, it's what I've always wanted to do. Like, this is legitimately what I've always wanted to do. And then when you get an opportunity, the reality is your style is not going to appease everybody. Right? And once you start trying to tweak your stuff to try to be like, oh, maybe I'll be a little bit more likable if I do this, or if I scale back on this, like, you'd be surprised. You guys might not be, but surprised at some of the, the messages that you do get.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are, I would say, a vast majority have been really encouraging and all that. And I freaking love that. And then there's some others, So when you guys say that, I know how much basketball you guys watch. We can make our list of, the greatest, play-by-play guys in the industry. Like when I was at Madison Square Garden, looking down the scores table to Mike Breen. And he goes, welcome to the fraternity. And it's like, that's where nuts. Do I take my dues, Mike?
I'm so happy you brought that up. I'm so happy you brought that up because I wanted to specifically bring up the Mike Breen interaction. And I was going to ask, like, was that kind of maybe, this may kind of come off weird, but like, is that the most validated that you've felt since you kind of got into this industry?
Honestly, yeah, I would. Yeah. Yeah. Because it wasn't, he had asked me, hey, how many are you getting to do? And I'd met Mike once before. I'll say this for the NBA fans that are listening, it's same with players. You say, you hope that your favorite player is not a dick, you know what I mean? Like in real life.
Yeah.
And then you hope that the guys like a Mike Breen, who in my opinion is at, the top of the mountain, when he's like, hey, so how many are you getting to do and how are things going? And hey, if you need anything, like not just your typical stuff, like he actually stood up and like walked toward me when I was like walking to him.
Yeah.
And like gave me a couple of minutes, And I'll be honest, aside from you talked about the Miguel Cabrera interview, I've been nervous talking to somebody about twice in the last 6 months. Cabrera, because I knew everybody was watching.
Yeah.
Mike Breen. So when he says like, welcome to the, welcome to the club. And I'm just like, oh man.
No, that's crazy.
It's surreal. Like it's legitimately, surreal. So that to me, to get back to your point, like getting a chance to do these games, it's the same with, I would tell anybody in this, in this forum here is, do people generally like you? You have to like, you have to take an evaluation of that. When you look in the mirror every night, hey, does my girl like me? Does my, you know, do my friends like me? Do I have a good
girl like me?
Whatever it is. And then you say, why do they like me? Right. And then you say, because I'm just being me. Yep. So when you hear that advice, and it a lot of times falls on deaf ears, people are like, hey, just be yourself. You know, you hear that and you're like, right, but how do I separate myself? They're like, if you're yourself, mm-hmm. you can separate yourself. So like, but be true to that. So when your head hits a pillow at night, I don't try to emulate anybody in particular when I do a game, but I do it the best way that I think that I can do it. And so if that resonates with a lot of people, great. And I hope that over time it'll resonate with, you know, everybody. But, you know, that may not be the case because George is the guy.
No, I think that's a great point. And I've been telling like aspiring journalists the same thing. I was talking to a class at Michigan State the other day, and people buy into the people.
Whoa, fucking what?
What?
Don't, what no, stop, stop, stop. I'm sorry. What were you, yeah. What were what you doing
I,
the other
did
day?
Did I say something?
Oh my God, you're disgusting. Keep going.
No, what are you
your
talking
story.
About?
You, I was talking in a class at Michigan State the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah, my old professor asked me to speak to her class. It wasn't okay. like I was...
Don't bury okay. the lead, James.
That's like every other week.
Oh my, every oh my God. Oh my God. Stop. Keep going. Keep going.
I was telling them, and it's something like when you listen to music, you buy in to the artist first, and then that makes you go crazy, fanatic, psycho for everything that they do. It's because you bought into the person. We're in a world in media where it's almost the same thing. Like, people are buying into your personality, yeah. obviously your content, but that's a reflection of your personality. And I think it's important to be yourself. And that's how you get like people to buy into what you're selling. So like I was telling them, like I'm a 30-year-old reporter with a tattoo sleeve. Like there's, you know, Johnny, there's nobody really in our field with like that. So it's like, but it's just who I am. And I think it allows you to relate to people. Just be yourself. And I think the way you said that, I think that's important because if people care about you, they're not only are they going to watch and support you, they're going to have your best interest too. So I think that's a great advice and something that I've been preaching as well lately.
Can I, Johnny, here's a phrase you might be familiar with. Can I come out of left field with a question?
Of course.
That expression familiar with your field?
Second deck.
What are some, I kind of want to, I'm always interested in learning a lot about Johnny Kane, the guy. And you and I have kind of, I think we talked on the phone about this. My brother and I are obsessed with your Instagram and like you're just general travels. You're just an insane dude. Like you're incredible. What are some like brands that you're loyal to? Cause I think of you as like a guy who like, you're going to say like Peloton and like PBR, like, what are you going to like? I'm a big, like my brother and I big AMC theaters guys. Like, what are you there loyal you to?
Big into Home Depot,
Home Depot dogs, hot dogs too.
I try not to, but I will when I'm,
if you're hungry.
Yeah.
Because I get to a spot where I'm around hot dogs all the time. This is getting off track, I gotta limit the intake because I see him every day at work. It's kind of like working the basketball games. You could have pizza, right, four times a week, no judgment.
Yep.
But so if I'm out doing a home errand day like today, if I'm rolling to Home Depot and eating hot dogs on the off day, now I'm looking at 4 to 5 days a week eating dog, and that just ain't good for anybody. But it's a funny question. I like, I'm pretty brand loyal. Yeah. I'm pretty brand loyal.
Nothing
I'm
only,
just thinking like all my tennis shoes are Nike.
Okay.
Is that underrated shoe game, Johnny Kane? You guys only see the suits, but he pulls up, he'll pull up in some Jordans.
It's always like in a pair Nikes. Of Nikes. Even though I eat like, you know, I got nothing against the other ones, but I always feel like uncomfortable if I don't get.
Do people ever like your general interactions with, you know, if anybody like bumps into you or something like, oh my God, Johnny Kane, does anybody ever try to pitch you like broadcast ideas on like a, hey, you should say this thing if somebody does this thing. You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that last question was fucking weird.
No,
that's not a weird question. I just think it's a funny question.
I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you.
Yeah, what brands can I name as I'm wearing?
Like I said, if you said like Peloton, I'd be like, oh, this is a guy who likes to be in shape. You travel all the time. Yeah. I'm like, hey, that would track. Big Delta Airlines guy? I don't know.
Yeah, like when it comes to rewards and things like that. Honestly, like no, when I say like brand, like when you talk about like brand loyalty, it really comes down to, it's more like team like loyalty. Like all my gear is either like all Pistons, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure.
That watered down, but it's like, you know, like if I was like to just go work out, it's like either a Tigers or a Pistons shirt.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you walk around and like, you know, my girl will be like, do you think you're a player? Like, you think walking around that people are going to confuse you as a player? And I'm like, well, it's happened. Okay. It's happened.
So if you're wondering if it's Johnny Cain that you're seeing, is he wearing a Tiger shirt? Because then it's actually Johnny Cain. Yeah.
It's a dead giveaway. Yeah. If I'm wearing the team apparel, which probably most of the guys, whenever they're not at work, are never wearing it. So that's a dead giveaway that I'm not a player. But I like to, you know, pretend. Quick, one that thing you said earlier, I was just thinking this. When you talked about how people like, you know, the individual first and then branch, right? Like music, if you said like an artist. So that's what I think about with you guys. And same with you, Nick. You know, I think about the guys I see every day, obviously on the beat, you know, Rod, Lauren. It's like this new age of social media, people get to see you, what you look like, what you sound like, right? What your other interests are. And it's like, hey, that dude seems like me, or that dude seems like a guy I would like to hang out with.
Yeah.
So,
and then they think we're famous too. So it's like, that weirds me out.
Yeah. Famous is now a word that is like, well, like somebody once said, like, you're kind of like regionally famous. I'm like, region, like in my neighborhood. Because you have to arena? Really think about it. Like, yeah,
well, I
like
think with you, I think, I mean, you're tapped in at so many levels. I mean, you do high school stuff too. So I'd say within the state, I'd say you're a pretty generally well-known guy.
Do you?
I mean, so well-known would be, you know, people, I would just say people probably recognize.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I've seen that guy before. More of that than anything else.
How often do you get recognized at the store? Somebody will probably come up to me once a week if I'm out and about.
Yeah.
Maybe once every 2 weeks. It's not all. I was going to say, I figured it'd be more for you because you're on TV.
Yeah. You know, that's a hard question to answer. I mean, I always, you know, like, because I always say, you know, next time I'm in church, you know, please no photos, you know, it's like, I just have to let them know. No, I'm joking. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I wear a hat out a lot of the times too. Yeah. You know, I kind of duck down, but to pay off that point, when you say, you know, you're authentically who you are, and same with you, Nick, and there's a reason why people gravitate toward that type of energy. When we have James on to do, let's say, a segment for a Pistons Live, he doesn't change his voice or cadence. He might put on his best flannel, but at the end of the day, he's still him, right? Like, he's not changing necessarily because I'm going to be on quote unquote television. So I try to be the same guy when I do a game. Now I get a little bit more hype because when I get in the moment, you're like an in the moment character. So like, you'll get into it a little bit, but
it's performance too. Yeah. You have to perform.
It's a really hard middle ground. And people don't realize how fucking hard that is to like achieve. And look, obviously with stuff that I've done, like not being that like guy all the time sometimes is really hard, and like, you know, separating it is sometimes really, really difficult. So I really I'm very envious of your ability to do that.
No, I think like even when you brought on the show here, it's like, you know, when you click, somebody's like, okay, 3, 2, here we go, and now it's like, okay, be at your best, Nick, all right, take two, if you have to. It's like when you're doing live games, there's no take two. Like, the moment happens, so do you meet the moment or do you not? And sometimes it's like, hey, what's the best thing I can come up with? And it's, you know, you don't want to just have
livers delivers,
you know, but something is like, you don't want to be too rehearsed on things either. Right. Like, you know, choose your spots, you know what I mean? But meet the moment and do it in a way that, like, my thing is this. When you came here, James, it's like, I grew up watching Pistons basketball. That's not to like earn the street credit from the fans, but that's how I grew up. I had Isaiah Thomas on my wall. So going back to like, say, age 10.
For people that know, you're from Ohio, but very close to the border.
Yeah, 100 miles from the border. Right? Yeah. So there are some people that come into a market, like when I've worked in other places, like when I moved to Kansas City, there were people that were dyed in the wool Chiefs and Royals fans. Well, I came in from out of state. So it's like, who's this guy? Why do I trust him with my teams? That's like, you know, like I'm the conduit from, okay, here's the product, here's the game. And now you're listening at home. I have to do it at an elite level so that you as a fan who's like, who's this guy?
Right.
Is he from here? Does he really love my team or is he just doing a job? So when I get wrapped up in it, like it really isn't artificial. It's not like fake happiness. It's like you're stoked. And then you hope that your genuine excitement, you know, resonates with everybody watching home. Doesn't always happen because some people may not like your style, but it's like when you go back to musicians, if you say, hey, I like who's your favorite musician right now?
We could go, well, just for the sake of this, we'll say Katy Perry.
Okay, Nick.
She's not really, but we're just for the sake of this. I feel like I could just throw in anybody.
We'll go Drake. Go Drake.
Okay. So here we go. Drake and Katy Perry. And somebody's Katy like,
Katy Perry was a joke, by the way, people.
Do you want to go to the Katy Perry show tonight? And your friend's like, is it free? No. And, you know, it'd be $100. You know, I like her, but not that much.
Yep.
But she's cool.
Yep.
Drake. Yeah. I'll go pay to see Drake. Right. So in my field, not everybody's going to pay to go watch my show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's okay to kind of hover in that, like, yeah, he's all right. Or he's cool. Or I like him a little bit. Or like, yeah, he's not really my style. Every musician doesn't sell out every show because not everybody likes their brand of music, even though that doesn't mean they're not good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like, that's there's a flavor for everybody. And, you know, what I hope is that, you know, like in doing this job is that it will be attractive to enough people to where they don't have to identify me with their team, but it can be like, hey, every time I watch my team, I get excited.
Yes. Right?
And he doesn't detract from that. You know, if anything, he might be able to enhance it.
Love that.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Two things from me, and then we'll end it with rapid fire. Nick obviously probably has some questions. Part of the reason you finished doing play-by-play for the Pistons the last 16, Blaha had some health stuff. Hope he's doing well.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was the best? All right, I'll add two-parter. Best advice he gave you? And were you guys keeping in communication during that whole thing? I know the answer, but the people don't.
So let me say this. George and I have probably become closer this year than in any of my previous 6 years here. Because when you first come in, you're trying to navigate a little bit and it's like, he's the GOAT, man. So the more that we've had a chance, like we'll eat lunch, you know, during the season, almost every game day together. Greg's usually a part of that too. And so we sit and we just talk about life and all that stuff. So he is doing well. He's on the road to recovery, sounds strong, getting his voice back. We look forward to getting him back. A lot of the time when we talk, it's not necessarily about the industry, but he did call me after I did high school finals, state finals, at the Breslin.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of weeks back, and he was as thorough as I've ever had him be with me about calling the game. And he came in with praise off the top, and it was like, oh, okay. And he's like, now listen, you know,
lead with love.
Don't be afraid, you know, don't be afraid to take ownership, you know, of the game. This is your game, right? Own the game. Don't let your voice trail off. Use it as a tool, right? I mean, it was like, which may sound like some people's like, well, what do you mean? But it's like, if you're going to hit something, like hit it through, like don't trail off, like, you know, and then there's a pass to the outside and he made the bucket and you're waiting. It's like, what happened? You know, boom, inside, outside, the shot, got it. Whatever it is, it's like, finish the call, don't trail off, and don't, like, if you're not really into what you're saying, then that's when your voice kind of whimpers off or whatever. It's kind of like, own it. You know what I mean? Own it. This is your show. Like, this is your game. Call the game. You know, so
love that.
He, dude, he, and obviously, you got to think about, man, like 46, 47 years in the chair. Think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of games.
He's seen it all, done it all.
Seen it all. Yeah. And it's like, hey, we can all get up for, was it New Year's Day or whatever, Pistons, Spurs, you know, tight game, comeback, force overtime, whatever. Those games are easy to get up for.
Right.
Now give me Oklahoma City, Detroit, game number 76. They're running out of G League roster. We're sitting a bunch of guys too.
Yeah. Sunday matinee game.
Boom. Right? Yeah. Boom. Now give me hype for that game because I love my team. Give me something.
That takes me to where I want to go next. That specific game, I was going to ask you about that. With all due respect to George, and again, I don't get to listen to every call because I'm at the games, but I don't remember him acknowledging what's happening. They're rebuilding. People throw out the word tank. You were not afraid to mention that in many games toward the end of the season, including the OKC one. Explain your thought process with that, because for people that don't know, there is a partnership with Bally and the Pistons, and it's not, you guys don't work for one another. You guys work together, and it's obviously the best. Yeah, it's a partnership, and everybody wants, if the Pistons are doing well, it's the best for those two parties. But you also can't disguise what is obvious, which is what was happening, which you acknowledged. Is there a conversation you have to even mention that on the air? Or is that just like, hey, like it is what it is. I'm going to talk about it. This is what people care about. People know what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think the point is you have to understand and give credit to the audience. Right. So if you gloss over, you know, what's taking place or what's in front or what most people understand is taking place, I don't think you're doing you're doing right by the viewers.
Yep.
Right. And so if you're a diehard, you know, fan, you understand like what's the big prize at the end. The reason I think the word tank, you know, offends a lot of people because just from the integrity of
sounds like not trying.
Right. And so here's the thing. It's like no player is ever going to go out and be like, you know what, missing this shot. You know what I mean? Or like, hey,
so
like,
we can draft this guy to take my job.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Right. So, you know, there's a lot of layers to, you know, when you're efforting trying to get, you know, another valuable piece and you need to have the right record to put yourself in the right percentile to land another Cade Cunningham impact player. Okay. So you're going to give opportunities. Other guys get minutes, right? There's going to be development's going to be at the forefront of winning. Like that to me is like the easiest way to put it. It's like, you can develop by playing guys in situations that typically, maybe if it was game seven and the championship's on the line, they might not get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Right. So what does it look like? That's how you can still be competitive, right, in these games and still maintain the integrity of competition and sport. So, you know, for us to address the fact that, you know, winning isn't necessarily the end objective at the end of the day, if I feel like player A, advanced, player B got an opportunity to get invaluable minutes and we got to see what he looks like to take an extended look because we're going to have some decisions to make who's going to be a part of this going into next year. Like we had a lot of, you know, I won't say a lot, but we had, you know, a handful of 10-day guys and two-way guys where it's like, well, what does it look like when they're on the floor for extended minutes? Does he fit? So those situations, it's more or less kind of explaining why maybe some guys are getting run when other guys aren't.
Right.
And understanding that at the end of the day, if we win this game, it feels good in the moment, but for the big prize, it may not be, you know, the best thing to do.
Go ahead, Nick.
Best Bally Sports road hang.
Like individual?
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to see who you pick.
Well, what's tough now, guys, is the fact that, you know, like our road dogs are no longer on the road because we've scaled back.
Yeah.
So now that's a tough one. I mean, this is not the answer you want, but I just like hang by myself now, you know, like at night, you know, at night. No, we used to when we would go out with our guys, like, you know, we'd have AD, Kelmer,
White Steve.
Yep, that's Kelm. Yep, yep.
Rod.
Yep. We had some hangs, you know, Paulie Kent, you know what Paulie, I mean? Mikey Lovino.
Mikey. This. Shout out to Mikey. Mikey's always listening. Shout out to Mikey.
Yeah. So we had some, I mean, when the whole crew used to travel, it's like anything, man. Like, imagine you and your friends are covering games every day and working hard. Like, these guys are really good at what they do, like, at the top. And then to the end of the night, it's like, let's go talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, some people, when they have to travel for work and they're staying at the, you know, whatever, the Roadway Inn, and it's like, you know, they're in Florence, Kentucky, and they don't like their coworkers. They're like, man, I wish I want to be home. When we were on the road, it's like, with my guys,
with my team. Where are you guys at? I just landed. Yeah. I'll be there in 25.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. You know, and the crossover between TV and print, like, that to me, in the NBA, I can't speak for the Red Wings, to be honest, but I can speak for, like, baseball, and I love all those guys, beat writers with the Tigers. I really do. Like, we all have a great relationship, but we don't hang.
Right.
We don't hang out outside of work, typically. So in the NBA, the fact that we hang, the TV and the writers, like, together, broadcasting writers, broadcasting print, hanging together, also one big pot of gumbo.
Dude, it is. It's so fun. And I wish we could get into stories here, because that's, like,
well,
if people really want to laugh, like, we got the right guy on here for some road stories. But,
well, okay, so what I was gonna say is,
I'll save that for the book.
I have one more personal question. Yeah. I just wanted to ask you, and then I was gonna end it with, like, we always do story time with James. I was gonna say, maybe we could do story time with Johnny, and that could be our standoff. You want to do it? Okay, so cool. Yeah. So we'll start with the question that I had. Johnny, will you indulge me for just a second? Little inside baseball, behind the scenes question. Okay, how the sausage is made, if you will. You do your, I mean, I guess it's different with basketball, because it's not like you do, I mean, your meetings are different. I'm thinking of football, how it's like every Sunday and you just have days leading up to it. But going into games, like, with your prep work, how much time do you spend on, hey, if this is a blowout, we need something to talk about?
Yeah. So let's say I pitch, I would say.
Tell them what time your day starts on a game day. Sorry to interrupt you, because I don't think people know that there are calls early in the morning, so leading up to the night.
Every game. Yeah. So we'll do a call at, typically it'll be 10 a.m. Sometimes we'll bump it to 9 if it's the first game of a series, because we're producing games now differently than we ever did before. So every day, no matter what, except for today, because we got in at 3 in the morning, every day I'll get up at 7 and I'll start preparing, I would say, from, like, beginning at 7:30 until our conference call at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, we have a full conference call, producer, director. I'd say producers. We have plenty of producers. Director.
Shout out to Diz.
Graphics. You know, associate producers. Everything. I mean, everything you could imagine, right? Pre-game analysts, post-game, posts, play-by-play. Everybody's in on it. And so we all share ideas, which, honestly, we didn't always do that, like, back when I first started. But as of about, say, 5 years ago is when we started. And now it's like a well-oiled machine, because it's like, wait, did you hear what Nick said? It's like, let me jot that down. And AD is like the unlimited stat master of anything. Like, he could give you numbers.
Yes.
And he could hijack the call if he wanted to. Like, we could just lead with AD and he'd be like, did you know that? You know? And it's like, holy cow. But he'll just pick his spots and give us a couple things. Then he prints us out a stat sheet every day. Honestly, like, he's one of the most valuable parts of what we do.
We love you, AD.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good follow on Twitter too.
Yes, he is.
Austin Drake, father of two. But anyway, so we'll start at 10. So when I come up with my storyline ideas, I'll give those to our producers and then our play-by-play. And I would say, in a typical, like, on a baseball game, you'll want to go anywhere from, like, 5 to 8, like, story ideas. Understanding that they're probably not going to come to you once every inning, but if you do get a game get sideways, or there's multiple pitching changes, it's like, where can we go now? So we always have, it's like anything, you know, you don't use 80% of the stuff you prepare for. We were almost going to interview Mary Hart and Bert Sugarman behind the on deck circle at the Dodger game, because they were friends with Kurt Gibson. So it's like, Gibby said, so it's like, Yeah. You know, we had that in our hip pocket. We have a little league coach we're going to talk to. We got another guy who's there with his son. You know, we have Derek Hill's dad's in the crowd. So we have stuff, but there's so much that goes into the telecast. You could clutter every game if you wanted. Like, you could clutter it up. And then we got this and out of town this and boom this. Yeah. Did you hear about this? And then all of a sudden it's like, what was that? Or do you let the game try to breathe and not jam everything in? That's the beauty of baseball, is kind of like, let me hear just like a bird chirp every once in a while and not be fed and brought to you by. So
if three Tigers hit a home run, go to your local Arby's tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, it's like, we got to pay bills and all that stuff, but you know, you want to do it in a way where you still maintain like, hey man, we're watching baseball. Somebody said the other day, just real quick, I was actually talking with my producer on the way home last night. What I try to bring in a baseball broadcast is a little bit of levity, because it is a game that has a chance to breathe. So if baseball goes north of 3 hours routinely, that's a lot of time, right? So most people are kind of watching it in passing. It's not like the NBA, you're kind of locked in. There's obviously a time limit. You know when it's getting good. And if you may step into the kitchen for something. Baseball's on, you may be preparing for your next podcast, you may be strumming on the guitar, you may be reading a book, you may be whatever. And it's like, it's on in the background, it's comforting, right? So what I try to bring in baseball is, like yesterday I brought Dodger dogs up to the booth and some guy, you know, responded like, call the game in all caps. And it's like, it was a 90 second bit, you know?
Yeah.
Jim Leland once told me, even in the past, like, you know, Jim Leland goes, I don't care how many hot dogs you can eat, you know? And I'm like, I get it, Jim. I get it. But what we're trying to do is understand that this, it's a very vast audience of Tigers fans. And I don't want to be some shtick or gimmicky guy where they're just like, oh, what's Johnny doing next? You know, he's crowd surfing.
Right.
It's like, I want to bring some, at least a little bit of entertainment value as much as I can, but I'm also scoring the game. Right. And I'll bring you the injury updates and all that other stuff. It's like, again, trying to find that sweet spot of, would this be a moment that some people may enjoy? Can we showcase interesting fans, like the guys that just completed their ballpark tour? It took him 17 years to do. Kid was 2 when he started. Now he's 19. And
Corey Nikoloff too, who you interviewed earlier this year. Corey Nikoloff.
Yeah. Yep. And that was spawned on from what James, the story James had done. So anyway, all those things, there are interesting stories to be told. Baseball lends itself to that more than it does basketball, because basketball is so back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We could burn a pitch or two during a baseball game, and most people don't get too upset, except for the call the game.
Yeah.
Give me my game back. And it's like, we'll get right back to it after I eat this Dodger dog.
All right. We're going to do rapid fire, but I have one more question. I told you we'd get you out of here in 30 minutes. So, what was your favorite Pistons game you called this year, and why was it Sadiq's 51 game? I already know that's the answer, I'm sure.
No, I love those questions. I love questions like that. It's like, you know, if there was anybody living or dead you could, you know, have dinner with, who would it be and why would it be me?
And why would it be? Yeah.
Honestly, so the Sadiq 50 game was legit. But if I'm being honest, my favorite game to call was the Spurs game.
That's the game he hit the game winner in the corner, right?
The nutmeg on Jakob Poeltl in Keldon Johnson's face.
Derek Walton Jr. nutmegs Poeltl and Sadiq hit it, which that wasn't the final play, but it was the go ahead shot.
Yeah.
And his I knew it was going in the whole time. Stop it. No shot.
You're the only one. It was just because that game, it was literally like Bryn Forbes, your boy.
Yep.
I mean, it was like big shot after big shot. You know,
that was
what I mean?
A fun game.
I think it was New Year's Day, if I'm not mistaken.
That was the Motor City Pistons game.
Correct.
Where all the G League guys and Sadiq and Hami played.
That's why it was such a cool game. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why it was such a cool game, because it was like, you got new guys out there. We're not supposed to beat the Spurs. They're the Spurs. Not that the Spurs are what they were, you know.
Still playing.
Well, they're good this year. Yeah, they were good. Yeah,
that was before I got into that stretch of games that I was supposed to do.
Right.
You know? But that was probably the most fun, just because everybody loves a game that comes down to the wire like that. And it's like, who did what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the pass by D. Walt was fabulous.
I forgot he made that pass. All right. Rapid fire. Nick, pop in with questions. We'll make it quick. We'll only do 2 or 3 minutes. Johnny, favorite post-game interview you've done? And these are all Piston-centric. Sorry.
Derrick Rose, born to do this.
Oh, yeah.
See, when you were asking the Blake Griffin question earlier, I was like, do we want to throw the Derrick Rose one in there instead? I forgot about that.
Yeah. Excuse my
that was right before Mexico City. It happened in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, yes, it was New before. And then that was like the next night that Andre had an avocado. It must have been.
Yeah.
And then he had the allergic reaction to that. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have one day? I asked you earlier if people pitch you phrases. I'm going to give you one. Can I give you one? And you can chew on it.
Yes.
Okay. So it's Sekou on Tristan Thompson part two. Okay. It's somebody throws down something crazy like the Cade on Jalen Smith. It's a crazy poster. They showed a double feature on that flight. What do you think about that one?
Yeah. I'm jotting it down.
Yes. Yes. I'm jotting it down. Yes. I can picture you and the Hornets guy saying it.
Yeah. Eric Collins, EC.
So it's not a question. It's just a suggestion. Like
yeah. Most embarrassed you've been asking a question.
Oh.
And for preface, we are most of the time, especially since Johnny's been here, definitely since I've been here, the team has not done a lot of winning. So the post-game moods are not always the greatest. So people tend to snap on all of us at times.
Yeah. Like Dwayne this year had one clap back where he's like, you know, I didn't think that was a very good question. It's like, okay.
Yeah. He was,
which I understand. Cause it's like, you know,
but then he apologized.
I have zero problem. Like, dude, come ask me a question after, you know, I shoot, you know, 50 on the front nine. It's like, Johnny, you're my boy. And I'm like, I'm not talking about it. You know, it's like, I thought you cooled off. I haven't.
He was genuinely sad. He snapped at you though. That was a very human moment that I wish people got to see.
And the question was, you know, what's like very open-ended, which is what we talked about.
You wanted him to tell you why they lost or whatever, something like that.
What's the mood in the locker room right now? What do you think it is, John? You think they're happy?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't think that's a very good question. Okay. You know, dude, all love. But one time when I had asked Stan Van Gundy, who – Stan was at opening day. I got a chance to talk with him. Now he's on the media side, which is cool. Stan was always locked in, as you know. Like Stan was like, you know, he had that little, you know, that tick, and he was just like always staring through me.
Yeah.
We get boat raced in Utah a couple of years back, and I said, Stan, where did the game turn? Were you watching? Yes. Third quarter. Thank you, Stan. So, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like embarrassed, but it's just kind of like saying, you know, I have to ask you like where it turned, why, like how did it happen? Why did it happen? So it's like third quarter. Why the third? They scored more than we did. Okay.
Yeah.
So once they're not playing along, it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to all of us. Favorite interview favorite person
like,
to interview.
Like consistently, like I know I'm going to get a good quote from this person.
Or he makes me laugh.
Yeah.
When he was here, Ish Smith.
See, people, I try to tell you.
I swear, there has to be like an embargo or something on, because anybody you ask any question about like the last decade of Pistons, anything, people will always be like, the answer is Ish Smith. Whatever the question is, the answer is always Ish Smith. Anybody that we ask anything, it's insane.
If you ask George Blaha his favorite beat the number pick, he'd say, I like Ish. No, Ish has so much currency.
Yeah.
You know, like everywhere he's been. And it's like, it's crazy. He's bounced to so many places. Like we saw him in DC, remember this year?
Yep.
And it's like, there he is. A guy smiley again. Like, man, what's up, man? Like never had a bad day. I love it.
Never. Never.
Love it.
All right, let's end there. We have Johnny long enough. Do you have, you wanted to do story time with Johnny?
I feel like you gave us a lot of stories. I feel like
I was gonna say, if there's
15 minutes, I mean,
if there's a night out escapade involving the crew that you want to share, that comes to mind.
Yeah.
That doesn't get us in trouble. Remember the time we were going to a establishment in Houston, and I was wearing sweatpants, and I had to go home.
Yeah.
That was. It's like a Wednesday night, and you had to be dressed.
Don't wear sweats after dark. That's the rule.
All right, we'll save that for the pod. Johnny, thank you for taking time on your off day.
I appreciate you guys a lot, man. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm proud of both you guys.
Same here, brother.
Thank you, Johnny. And just a reminder to everybody, next week will be the so Troy, I'm sure, has he made it to this part of the, if you made it this far in the podcast, Troy, next week we'll be breaking down what your tenure's been like. So it's gonna be really exciting. And everybody can look forward to that. I actually have a lot of really nice things to say. I was like doing it, the whole thing in my head. I have a lot of really nice things to say. Thank you very much, Johnny. Ladies and gentlemen, if you made it this far, thank you very, very much for listening. If you listen to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling generous. You can even leave 5 stars if you're on Spotify. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.